Eliab. Come to that part where it says, put a seal upon my lips.
Stop.
And I pray that he takes the seal away from my lips. What I've got to say this morning is on the hearts of many of us. And I titled this sermon, Will Ye Go Away Also? I want to welcome you here to the house of the Lord, and I'm happy to be before you this morning. For it's been a long time since I stood behind this desk and preached. I appreciate seeing each one of you. This morning I invite the Holy Ghost to be here because I will need his help. I've been given a difficult task, and that's to talk about will ye also go away, or will ye go away also? You know, this is a take from the sixth chapter of John, and his disciples were walking with him, and many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I can't imagine having the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you and then turn away and walk no more with him. But you know, we see that in the churches of today. Not only in the churches of today, but in our own church. We see that there's some disciples, some members, that have decided to walk away. Just walk away from the church. Now, is that totally all their fault? No, I don't believe it is. I think I'll get into some things that I believe causes this. And I want to turn to the sixth chapter of John, starting with the 60th verse. And I'm going to read through the 77th. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12, Will ye also go away? When he asked that question, will you also go away? Can you hear the hurt in his voice? Even though it's written, can you hear that hurt? And I can imagine what Jesus was saying. Will you go away also? Are you going to leave me too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, I know in my heart and my very being, I know that there is a God that is our Father in heaven. And I know that Jesus Christ is his Son, who came and gave his life for us. I know I've said this before, but I remember sitting and watching the stripes that was laid on Christ's back and the agony that he was suffering. And remember that those stripes that was laid on Christ's back are for you and I. He did that for us. Jesus Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you, 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But what preceded this was the implementation of the sacrament. Starting with the 41st verse in the 6th chapter of John. "And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" And you remember he said to his disciples before this, "You eat of this bread, and it'll strengthen you. But you eat of the bread that I can give you, and you will never hunger again." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves." And you know I see this today in the church. It's murmur not amongst yourselves. Don't murmur. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So there's a promise that we know is sure, because each one of you and my brother and I have been called into the church of Christ. Each one of us have accepted the teachings of Christ. And each one of us has a job to do. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is..." Almost ate that bug. "Not any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man eat thereof, may not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So I think this is what some of the disciples was questioning. Is it this was his flesh that we're going to be eating? "When Jesus said this unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I will live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things he said, or said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. We see that some of his disciples left because he was saying it's hard for them to bear. It is much the same today. Some are leaving because it's hard. They cannot take or understand that is happening in and out of the church. Many disciples are murmuring. Some leave the church. Is too judgmental. This is what they're saying. The church is too judgmental. Some say, I can't deal with the politics. Some, because of distractions, we had an apostle stand and preach a sermon on there's distractions that come into the church. And these distractions, these people got distracted by seemingly good things. They don't attend church because they take their kids to ball practice. They love the fast life. Traveling every weekend to the lake or other places for fun and enjoyment. Over time, their lifestyle of attending becomes a habit. Their lifestyle of not attending becomes a habit. And you know, it's awful hard to break a habit. I don't know how I'd be to smoke because I've never smoked. But people say it's hard to break that habit. The same with drinking. It's hard to break that habit. Some have enjoyment with their kids, and I don't argue with that. But could they not do the things with their kids on other days of the week? Some become offended. I didn't like the decision that was made. What was said offended me. I was embarrassed at what was said. Some of us wear our feelings on our sleeves, and we shouldn't. We should ask God to help us to not be offended at words or deeds. Some say that there are not enough people my age or my children's age. And this is why I don't attend church. I know when Jewel and I were first married and we were new in the church, we had a group that was called the Young Marrieds. And I'd like to be part of that today, but I'm not that young anymore. But there were six couples that got together. Jewel and I, Frank and Carol, Roland and June. And at the time, Ron and Darrell. And Calvin and Joyce Randall. And I can't think of the other couple. But once in a while, Bob and Jenny would come. And we had a great time. We would go out to eat together. And we would talk about what was going on in the church. And we would talk about the scriptures and what they meant in our lives. And I really become quite taken with Frank and Carol and June and Roland. They become our best friends. I happened to work in the same place that Roland did, and I would go over, I had time to go over and visit with him from time to time during my work day. But I'm sure that those that have this as a reason why they don't attend church is that there's not enough people my age or my children's age. That's really not a good excuse. The Lord says that come to called services. And he will be there. Some have chosen the world over the church. I know when I was pastor at the East Local, it come the Super Bowl Sunday, and there wasn't very many people at church. They were watching the Super Bowl. My nephew went to a church that they rented a big screen and put it up down in the basement. And the assembly room was packed. You couldn't get people in there. They decided to start serving coffee during church. And they had a coffee dispenser. And you could get a cookie if you wanted it. They had a band, a live band during church services. So that's the world taking over the church. And I know one night, or one day, while I was working for Armco, I was called to the electric furnace, and another electrician was called over there because the two electricians were ill. And we got to talking. And I happened to talk to this individual for all evening. Normally, you didn't get a chance to talk very long because of the calls that would come in. But we talked all evening. And one of the things that he said was, I joined a new church. And I said, oh, why did you join a new church? And he said, because it has a basketball team. And I like playing basketball, and the church I was going to doesn't have a basketball court. And I told him about our church, We didn't have a basketball court either. But we had the Book of Mormon. And the minute you mention the Book of Mormon, that turns people off. And that's one reason why people become offended and don't stay in the church, is that they don't have a good understanding and being grounded in the Book of Mormon. And if you're not grounded in the Book of Mormon, you're not grounded in the Bible as well, because the Bible speaks of the Book of Mormon. So some have chosen the world over the church. Do sports replace going to a church service? It does for some people. Some people feel that, you know, as long as they can keep their kids in sports, it keeps them out of trouble. But think how much better it would be if they kept them in church. But then you look at our church. You look at our church, and where are the young people? Where are the people that are young married people? They're not in church because they weren't schooled in it. They weren't brought to church as a young person. Or, like my wife said, they brought their kids to church but then ruined the church because making them sit there and be quiet and everything. Well, that's neither here nor there, but a lot of kids, including apostles' kids, don't attend church. Why? I don't know. Well, I do know. They say, I don't get anything out of the service. Now, many of you might be sitting there today and say, I'm not getting anything out of the service. You only get out of the service what you put in. I know when I get ready to come to church, I pray that we will be fed. And when we have a guest speaker, I pray for that guest speaker that they would say something that would help each one of us. But you only get out of the service what you put in. They don't come prepared for the service. Do you have a prayer to offer for sacrament service? Do you have a testimony to offer? Do you have a song to request for sacrament service? Have you brought your scriptures with you? I'm not asking you to hold your hand up, but do you bring your scriptures? Do you read them? Have you prepared a special for the service? And do you pray for the service? What makes the Church of Christ different from other churches? Well, we're told that we have the restored gospel, and we have an added witness of the truth found in the Bible, which is the Book of Mormon. And this is what I'd like to ask some of the ones that's have left or contemplating leaving. Do you believe in the Book of Mormon? How much do you believe in the Book of Mormon? Do you have a testimony of the Book of Mormon? And I've told you before of my testimony for the Book of Mormon is that I wasted a class period every day for about a month reading the Book of Mormon in class. And I was able to get a witness of the Book of Mormon through that reading. It was King Lamoni's father, as he knelt. Have you knelt and said, God, if you are God, I will give away all my sins to know you? Have you prayed that prayer? I'm not accusing any one of you, but I'm just asking you some questions. Do you believe the witness of the Book of Mormon that other people have given? I'm sure, I can't say this for a fact, but I can say it for a fact from the East Local. I can remember my brothers and sisters standing up and giving testimony after testimony after testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. I can remember Sister Doris Sheldon standing up and giving the same testimony time after time after time. And why did she do that? It was for us younger people that was there. She cared about us and she wanted us to know what God had for her and what God had given her, the blessings that we sang about, that God has given. To these that have left the church or contemplating leaving, I would like to ask this question. Most other churches say that the Book of Mormon is of the devil, and you should stay as far away from it as possible. If you have a testimony of the Book of Mormon, that should cause you to leave that church right then. What else separates the Church of Christ from the churches of today? Well, we do not have paid ministry. And many of the churches of today have paid ministry. In fact, I had one that used to come to me and he would say, you know, I'm going to have to turn this over to my assistant pastor today because they're voting on my salary. Or I want him to ask about the parsonage. When I took over the pastorship from Frank, I asked him, I said, where's the church vehicle? And where is the credit card? And he says, I'll look into that. But what separates us from other churches of today? Do we have fine, big edifices built up so that we can have thousands of people come in? No. But we have the Spirit of God in His house. What else separates us from the churches of today? Well, the Church of Christ has apostles. Do other churches have apostles? Well, there's some of them that do. But are they called of God? We have prophets, and our prophets are our people. They can bear witness. Do other churches have prophets? Well, some of them do. We have evangelists. Do other churches have evangelists? Some do. How about elders? We have elders. Do other churches have elders? Some of them do. Priests, teachers, and deacons. We have each one of those as a called office. But do they have all of them? Church of Christ has all of them. We also have the principles of the gospel, which are faith, repentance, baptism, the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, and healing of the sick. Also, when they lay on hands for the healing of the sick, it says if they have any sins, they shall be forgiven. We have resurrection of the dead as a belief, and eternal judgment. So if you're looking at other churches, how often do they have each one of these? And do they have called ministry? This is all found in the Church of Christ as established by Jesus Christ. And this next one, point that I had this for my grandkids, if they had been here. Have you been baptized? If not, why not? My brothers and sisters, we have so many things that's right in the church. That we can't throw out. Well, the baby with the bathwater. Because there's too much baby. So has people offended you by what they say? Have they caused you not to want to come to church or want to leave the church? I think that there's times, I know my wife and I have discussed it, is in the 50 years that I've been a minister, gosh, it's a long time, but in the 50 years that I've been a minister, there's been times when I could have walked away. I really could have. I could have just folded up my books and walked away. But why? Because I took other people's words as discouragement. But how can I walk away? It's just like what I said about the disciples that was walking with Christ. How can you turn away from Christ? And you say, well, Christ is not the church. But I guarantee you that Christ is the church. No, I couldn't walk away from Jesus Christ. I can't imagine how it would be all alone in this old world without having Christ at my side. And knowing that He will go to the Father for me. And as we sang this morning with the many blessings, you know, I can look out and I can count the blessings that God has given me. And even though I'm crippled up and I can't see very well anymore, I know that God has blessed me as He blessed each one of you, each one of you. I can look out and I can see the blessings that He has given to each one of you. And why? Why did He give you these blessings? Because you chose to follow Him. You didn't turn your back on Him. Now, years ago, Brother Bell, and I probably said this before and I apologize for saying it again, but sometimes you need to hear it over and over and over again. Brother Bell said he saw Christ come to the temple and that the apostles were sitting in front of Christ. And Christ started talking and he said, "All right," he said, "take this and take it out of the temple." You know, this is something that we have instituted in the church, the pulpit. And where did that come from? It probably came from Joseph Smith. Because Joseph Smith and his followers had to have two pulpits in the church. And yes, it's good to be able to stand behind this. And we've dedicated this as a dedicated pulpit. And I get a feeling when I stand behind it that God is going to support me in all my weaknesses. He's going to strengthen me. So have we brought things into the church? And Christ was telling them various things to take out of the church. And he said, Brother Bell said, some of the apostles stood up, turned their chairs around, and faced backward, turned their back on Christ. Now, are we going to turn our back on Christ? It's like those that, I would love to be able to talk to those that are contemplating leaving, to ask them, where would you go? Where would you go that you could find the evidence of Christ's church, of called ministry, of the principles of the gospel? Do other churches have principles of the gospel? I would hope so, because it's in the Bible. What is it, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter?
Yeah, verse 1.
It's also found in the Book of Mormon. But brothers and sisters, we've been given the Book of Mormon, and it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God given to us that we might prosper in it. If we don't know what's in it, we can't prosper in it. And I've heard him say time after time, get into the Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you, get into the Scriptures for their life unto salvation. Life unto salvation. Do you want to be saved at the last day? Oh, I think that you will be. I think that when we go stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I think that we're going to have a few stripes, but that he's taken most of them for us. But brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray morning. We need to pray noon. And we need to pray at night. We need to pray over the crops of our fields. We need to pray for our children, especially our children, because we don't see young people here today. We see the seasoned people. And today, if you have any influence at all on your children, and I thought I had influence on my son Larry, I thought he would be here this morning. And that's why I put in there about baptism. Larry's been baptized, but his kids haven't. My grandchildren have not been baptized. And I know that my grandson, Joe, when he would come up to our house, he would cry when they left on Sunday morning because he wasn't going to get to go to church. It breaks my heart not to have the young people here. Breaks my heart not to have Shayla here. It breaks my heart not to see Dale and Shauna here. And it breaks my heart that the young people, when they come down to visit Mom and Dad, our grandma and grandpa, that they don't show up. And yes, Vicki, breaks my heart that your kids aren't here. I know that you would have them here, if at all possible. And I know the women here would have their grandkids here, if at all possible, or their kids. So, as I say my prayers at the evening time, each one of you are mentioned, but not only you, but your families. And I pray for them. I pray that the ones that's considering leaving the church, would have God work on their hearts. But I thank you for your time, and I pray that God would go with you to your homes, that God would be with you when you're with your families, and that God would allow you to say some word that would influence your children and grandchildren. So God bless you is my prayer.
Would believe that he was Christ. And so when you think about how God speaks to us today, when he performs a miracle, are we listening? When he answers a prayer, are we listening? When he speaks to us through somebody's testimony that's been given for the rest of us so that we will hear, are we listening? Or do we let our judgment cloud us and think, oh, that testimony was for them and that's what they think and it can't happen for me? Or do we let all those human thoughts come in and think, oh, that brother or sister's crazy? They just had some crazy off-the-wall kind of testimony, whatever. You know, or do we let those human thoughts come in and that natural man take over and cloud our judgment and separate us from our God? Or do we give God a place and be willing to believe and listen to the lesson and to be taught that our faith would be strengthened and that we would have stronger faith? Because faith doesn't come to us by what we do. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make. It comes to us by what God has done for us. And if we are not willing to believe what God has done for us, how can we have faith? And so the measure of faith that each of us has is different. But all of us, the faith that we have has been given to us by God. And so when we ask that question, and I do it myself, when we ask that question, oh, my faith, or we make that statement within ourselves, my faith just isn't good enough, or it isn't strong enough, or do I even have faith for that? It calls into question all that God has done for me. It calls into question, has Christ risen from the dead? Just as we read. So it's food for thought. I don't mean to get too deep, but I just want us to be conscious of how sometimes our own thoughts can limit what God can do for us if we're not careful. That really is the end of what I had to say today. It was really quite a simple message, but I do try to read Scripture and bring it into a lesson for us today. And I hope that I hadn't brought it out of context too much. But I know that our Lord is willing to do much for us, if we will believe. You know, we don't have, you know, in this day, as it is written in prophecy, we have to believe as Gentiles. We can read in the Book of Mormon that we must believe because of our faith. And so when I think about that, I think, well, how that works. You know, we must believe today because we have looked to God and we have accepted what He has taught us and we are willing to have faith. And so that is the difficulty that we live in today, because Jesus Christ is not physically standing right there in front of us. And so this is the only tool that we have that we can strengthen our belief and know God is through faith. And so it's necessary that we have it. Whatever measure that we have, it has been given to us by our God. And we must keep that natural man in check and set it aside when we realize that it's kind of getting in the way. And it can get in the way in many things. And not necessarily in sin. It can just be in our thoughts and how we put and kind of set the glory of God to the side and kind of make it a second consideration. So I thank you very much for your time. I will keep you in my prayers, and please keep me in your prayers. Thank you very much.
28, you don't have to turn there. Write it down and you can read it later. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's not speaking of the ministry. That's speaking of the people. Riley is telling me it's about time to shut up, Papa. That's speaking to all the people, not just me and Larry, but to everybody. Jump on down to verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Listen closely, very close. Boy, is this important. if God be for us, who can be against us? Remember that. If God is for you, who can stand against us? Nobody, under any circumstance, can overpower what God is doing if He is with us. One more verse, 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him, Christ, also freely give us all things? And again, I thank you for your time. I hope that I have read some scriptures that will benefit you. I hope that I have said some words under the influence and the inspiration of God that will encourage you, that will help you through your struggles in life. I hope I have let you realize that you're not alone when you sit in that dark space in your home, wherever it might be. It happens to us too. It happens to me more frequent than I want it to, because I don't sleep well at night. And people might say, well, Alan, is your conscience bothering you? I don't think so. I repent of a night before I go to bed. Does that make it right between me and God? Yes. Says if you sin, that if you repent before God, He will forgive you. So I'm not worried about that. Why am I awake half the night? I'm in pain. I've had a hip surgery, and it hurts sometimes. And so it won't let me sleep. I'm laying there, and my legs won't stay still. They hurt. They ache. And it's my fault, because, again, I didn't take care of my body like I should have. But it's just pain that makes me restless and makes me get up. So I get up, and I sometimes just sit there in the dark and pray. Sometimes I read the scriptures. Sometimes I go into the back and watch a little bit of TV to kind of get my mind going. And then I have to wind up and take in some aspirin to get rid of the pain so I can sleep. So it's not a bad conscience that keeps me there. Do I think of things that I've done that is sinful, that is wrong? Sure I do. You're sitting there all alone. What better things do you have to do? Well, you can sit there and thank God for His chastisement, and thank God for the things that He has given you. You know, if I tried to write, well, they're all even one by one. I'm just kidding, Nikki. If I tried to write everything down that God has done for me in all situations, when I've been bad, when I was in a bad place, God used me. He spoke to me. He helped me to help others in their struggles. You've heard my testimonies about those things. But if I tried to write them all down of all the good things and the many times that God has helped me through a struggle, I'd have a good book. I could write a diary, and I'm not a writer, and I'm not going to write a diary. But the blessings have been there. And I love God. And I have to tell God, God, I love you. And I love your Son. And I love the things that you have done for me. And I appreciate what you have done for me. I appreciate, it's all right. I appreciate and love the chastisement that you have given me, because I know you love me. So He chastises me. But anyhow, I will close it with that and say thank you. And again, I hope that I have said something that kind of sparks a spark in your life to where you can enjoy all these things. So may God bless us. I stood too long.
Thank you. Not tooting my own horn, but we've been occasionally involved in projects to help somebody to do something. And he's in California. They had that big fire, and he's 25 miles away from the fire there at Paradise. Had to leave town because he couldn't breathe. But he raised $2,000 and put it on Facebook. And I see that wonder-working power of salvation is cooking. Takes time. But our prayer, and among others, I know Larry has prayed for him. I believe are effective. But I'm not just talking about my own kids right here. Is that he is so good. Oh, God is so good. And he is going to do what he's going to do. And if we can be, he's going to save us. And he's working hard at it, and I believe he is. But he's got also a whole bunch of other folks that we probably haven't even thought about or have dismissed. And working in his effort to save us, to bring to pass his kingdom. And I'm declaring it. I'm declaring his kingdom come and his will be done. God bless you. Sorry, I came to you too late.
Incorrectly, and you probably will know where it is, and you can tell me. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your heart? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongues of angels? Someone know where this is now? Someone probably has this figured out. And now, how could you speak with the tongues of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not, neither do you knock. Wherefore you are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show you all things that you should do. So to me, there's a verse that really stood out here. This feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that you should do. And I think that us, as we fall away and we need to be brought back to hearing this Holy Ghost speak, one of the ways that God works is through his scriptures, where we can get into the words of Christ and they can speak to us. And we can hear the way God speaks to his people, speaks to us through the way Christ speaks to people. Anyone find? Chapter 14. I was just missing a one there. I'm sorry. I'm going to borrow your pen for a second. So I want to talk now about the second way that we experience God's promise of newness to us, and that's through this act of repentance and his forgiveness. Let's read 1 John 1, 5 through 9. First John 1, 5 through 9. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.